Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Well, hello everyone. Good morning. Good Sunday, the Lord's Day. And it is May 2nd. We are finally here in the month of May. It's 12:57 p.m. And we are doing this show live right now. It will be archived, but live from New England, you know, specifically Stoughton, Mass. And we, I guess there was a water ban yesterday that because of a water main that broke, and it's dumping lots of gallons of water into the Charles River, and so it's causing its own problems, and people have to boil their water, or they definitely they have to boil it for at least a minute, and in some cases if there's a water shortage, the National Guard will come in there, and this can only happen in New England. I mean, no storms brought this out, nothing, but see, this is what God has been ministering to me and my husband a couple of years ago, that we have to stock up on water because something's going to happen in 2010. And we were, to have as much water here at the ministry place, and to which is where we live, so that we would be ready for such a time as this. And, of course, we weren't ready. But we were ready in a way that we had the resources to actually get water right away. No panic attack. And another reason why we didn't have a panic attack is because where we live, and it was so funny, the Lord, on the other hand, said we don't have to worry about it for this time around because we have well water. And so apparently our town, our secondary resource, my husband just informed me, is that we have well water here in the town for emergency use. So they are not, for those who are from the Stoughton area that are listening to this, you can go to the stoughton-ma.gov and you could actually, right on the front page of that, see, it confirms what we're saying. You'd be able to see that we do have, we're functioning well water and not on the main water system established through NWRA. So that's what's going on right now. But we went last night to the Metro West, and Ben Dunn was there preaching and worshiping. And one of my fellow worshipers, who is a friend of ours, she when we finally made her aware of this, because she comes to the Brighton area, she said, "I have a lot of peace about it." And I said, "We do too," surprisingly, because we're always hearing these, what's going on and the doom and the gloom, and it seems like each time, you're hearing something that's happening in a certain part of the world that are affecting a whole lot of people, it really has an impact on, especially if you are a believer, because, the heart of Yeshua is inside of us, and it's full of compassion. So, we can't help but feel the pain of the world, and so we're going to talk about today about the Father who comforts, who comforts and heals and transforms us from glory to glory and grace to grace, and what our proper response should be as a believer in the ministry of restoration and reconciliation. We will also be teaching from the following scriptures to back up what the Holy Spirit's been showing us, who is the Spirit of Truth, who is who is the one that's been appointed by God it's the Spirit of Jesus bringing all of the church into the truth that's been revealed revealed before the foundations of the earth were laid. So we're going to, out of that wealth of revelation, we are going to confirm the teaching coming from the Holy Spirit as we explore Romans 2, 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 5, and chapter 10, and James chapter 1. So it's very windy here, so from time to time I'm always looking over my shoulder because it seems like the winds get so strong sometimes that the door actually gets blown open. You know, one time the wind turned the knob and opened the door. So I'm wondering, I know it's more than the wind, it's the Holy Spirit. So every time that happens, I always have to say, welcome, Holy Spirit. And so that is what we are going to do. We are going to welcome the Holy Spirit, our lover. You know, we are spouse to him through our relationship to Jesus, our lover and our friend. Okay, so I'm going to give the mic to my husband, and I'm going to join him in agreement as we call upon the Holy Spirit to lead this special broadcast. Okay, I always say that the broadcasts are special at each broadcast, but that's because we're just wanting to be open to the living water coming from heaven all the time, you know, because we sit under an open heaven. We do the show under an open heaven. So here's my husband to invoke our dear friend and lover, the Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill the hearts of the listening faithful and enkindle in all of us the fire of your divine love as you show forth your mercy and transform us into the greater image of Jesus Christ, your Son, so that when you look upon us, you also look upon Jesus. Father, we surrender to you all the areas of our hearts, minds, and souls that need to be transformed, and we ask the Holy Spirit, the source of all revelation, to show us where we need to work in our spiritual character development with him. In Jesus' name, amen, alleluia, and thank you, Father.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you never leave us. You never abandon us. You never forsake us to our flesh, our ways that are not pleasing to you. And, Lord, we just are honored that you give us this time, this time to bring your kingdom to your people in a very special way, in Jesus' holy name. And we are going to, very shortly, I'm going to play this Psalm 23 and ask the kingdom to come in a very special way through worship. And I believe it's from Dr. James Gall CD. The Worship of David, I think that's what it's called. Anyways, so I just wanted you to just like sit back, relax, and let's ask the kingdom to come in a very special way, and that the Lord will open up the eyes of our understanding and heart as we delve into Scripture. Okay, in Jesus' name, amen.
For he is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thank you.
Let your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
Let your kingdom come. 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 Let it come, Lord. Cry for the nation. It's a cry for the nation. Let your kingdom come, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we ask for the nations of the earth to come to their full inheritance, that you would guide us and help in that process as we are representatives of the kingdom of God on this earth, as we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And so I just want to, really emphasize that we are ambassadors of the kingdom. And in a minute, we are going to go to flip your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians 1. And we're probably going to read the whole chapter, actually. And what's going to happen is that God is going to open up your eyes. But the Lord wants us to position, he wants to position ourselves, okay? And we have to ask him to do that in the Holy Ghost, to position ourselves so that we can plead on behalf of the nations for freedom. Because if we're not in the right position, we will not be able to lead or be forerunners in this request. Okay? It's very important that we know who we are and what our position is. The God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And if you know this, before I go on any further, in our previous broadcast, I would always begin, with scripture or prayer, or maybe sometimes, a lot of times, scripture and prayer, and then the Lord would release, within my spirit to be able to talk about certain situations that he's brought me through and the lessons that were taught from that, from him, and how that applies to other people in similar circumstances or who know of people in similar circumstances. It seems like it works much better if the person that actually, if the person that's actually preaching in a ministry format such as Blog Talk Radio or video or, you know, even face-to-face with people, that they would, you know, their genuineness would come because they have victory in that particular area that they're called out to preach, okay? Because it's out of the suffering of Jesus in their life. They've given the tools, they've given the content to be able to impart to others, all right? So it says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So, you know, we all are called into that ministry of suffering, whether we like it or not. It's not so that, you know, we participate in the pity party, woe is me, and nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat some worms. But we're more like, we're to, you know, take this suffering and offer it up in prayer, and, you know, on behalf of the suffering part of the body of Christ. And there are some people that say, well, we've arrived in the glory, Jesus did it all, and even though we have, you know, his life in us, we're not called to suffer. Well, I hate to say this, folks, you are being deceived, because that's not what Apostle Paul is preaching here. Okay. And he preaches on a certain kind of boast here. And we're going to go further into 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in holiness and sincerity that are from God. So it's not the fact that when you suffer, a lot of these people use suffering and say, this is the difference between good and evil in the world, right? Some people choose, you know, become sanctified through the suffering, and other people choose to wallow in it and continue on in the degradation of their character and the searing of their conscience, okay? Because they just choose not to put their trust and their hope in the Lord, like it says in Psalm 37. We need to be about that, because we have to understand, in order to appeal to suffering humanity and bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus to their lives, that we have to understand a little bit, maybe a lot for some people, of how the rest of the people are suffering around them, and to, you know, bring the remedy of the kingdom to that suffering, okay? Because it's going on inside of us. You know, we not only have the life of the resurrected life of Jesus working on the inside of us, but we also have the suffering, you know, the suffering of the cross, and they go hand in hand, suffering to the point that it points to our resurrection, of all of our circumstances that we are walking in. So I just want to go back up here again after I release this tidbit. It says, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace operating within us. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Apostle Paul is saying, you know, really in a nutshell in this part of 2 Corinthians 1, is that it's all by God's grace. And I think many Christians out there have a faulty understanding of the grace of God operating in the day in and day out life of an average believer. Far too many times, you know, the consensus is that, you know, people speak of God's grace as cheapening grace, but in actuality, if we were, you know, if we understood the scripture of how Paul, how God moved through the Apostle Paul's life of suffering to bring in a greater way the awareness of the kingdom of God in the resurrection part of the suffering, okay, that is where grace operates, somewhere between suffering and resurrection. And I really believe that's why Jesus died on the tree. It was in the form of a cross, and I really believe one outstretched arm was for suffering, and the other one represented resurrection. Okay, and he was the bridge. His heart, and it was in the middle, and he was the bridge between suffering, humanity, and resurrection. And his heart was full of grace and compassion. Okay. I want people that, you know, and the Holy Spirit wants people to understand that. But I just ask right now that you would just impart this understanding of grace as you showed me and my husband in Bible study, just, you know, what each arm represents. And these are the same arms of the Father, because you see Jesus, you see the Father. So the arm, so God encompasses in his compassion, in his comfort for mankind, through his son Jesus, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, all right, the arm of suffering, okay, and the grace that would bring us to his resurrection. Without Jesus, this work is impossible. And honey, if you have anything to share, if it's something, if God moves you in anything to add to this, feel free to tap me on the shoulder and I'll give you the mic, okay? All right. It says, because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I planned to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea when I planned this. And this I did not do lightly. Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been. Yes, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him we say amen. And amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So many people, you know, they don't understand why they say amen to many things. But, you know, if a man's giving their opinion, you know, and it seems like it's from Jesus, it's like, and a lot of it's mixed with the opinion of man, then, you know, it seems like when a lot of people use the term amen loosely, amen means agreement, but it also means to the glory of God. And my whole question is, when somebody's amen into something, is it really to the glory of God? We need to come into that place of discernment about what we are actually saying amen to. Are we saying amen because we agree with a man merely speaking about God or about what he thinks should be of God? Is it tinged with a political spirit? Does it reap more corruption of, you know, the heart of, you know, mankind as it relates to God? Or is it something that, you know, that comes right from heaven, from the heart of God, through scripture, through something that's tried and true, and, you know, through the apostles that's gone before us. And so, you know, when I see it spelled out in black and white here in the scriptures, I have to say, you know, I have to ask the Lord, myself to him, Lord, you know, is this really going on in my heart? Am I in agreement with you? But sometimes we forget what we look like. Sometimes we can get so confused and we can stray away. And so I'm going to just flip to James, because James talks about that. It's James 1, okay? And I'm going to flip to James. All right. James is here somewhere. He says I'm in the New Testament. All right, James. James 1. James, there we go. Here you are, James. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to start at 1 James, and one, and we will go all the way to 26. All right, because this is all part of grace and how we are to respond to the needs of God in our suffering, to suffering humanity, and the point is to bring them to the place of resurrection glory. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So if we have a question about anything in life, I think that we will lose focus if we always constantly are barraging and questioning authorities on this earth, all right? And I think that many people have amnesia and they forget about the authority of God. And I think that we should really, at these times of uncertainty, question, you know, uncertainty with questions that we may have in our heart that man cannot answer. I think that it is probably the wisdom of God to petition God for godly wisdom as to what he is doing, what he wants to do through his people, and what is really happening behind the scenes, because we are definitely fighting against principalities. Not against people, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in the heavenly places, okay? So we need to ask for wisdom from God, from the source, from our source, through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So we really need to guard against double-mindedness. And we can't even do it on our own. We have to employ. We're encouraged by the Holy Spirit, by the love of the Holy Spirit, to employ wisdom from heaven above through the Holy Spirit. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. And blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. All right? So this is under suffering, under trial. In the persevering, one gets blessed. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And this is not easy while we're in that trial. You know, but that's why we have the Holy Spirit, and that's why we always have to ask others to pray for us. We all should have prayer ministers around us at all times. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me. But God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, which is Jesus, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, Apostle Paul warns people, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, very quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So, you know, when I'm on Facebook, and I know that this is going to go to many of my friends on Facebook, we have over 2,000 of them, wonderful people. In the beginning of this whole Facebook thing, you know, when President Barack Obama became president, a lot of changes were about ready to happen, and everything else all over the world. You know, people were angry. They were talking about the leadership, against the leadership. They were actually quick to speak, and they were not quick to listen, and they became very angry. And I was always wondering, and I always would bring the question to the Lord during this time, Lord, what do you want me to do? This is not scriptural. What's going on with your people? And I didn't want to write them off and say, well, they're not God's people, because, you know, they are. They're just caught up in the circumstances of the world and not putting their complete hope in Jesus, okay, and what he wants to do. And what they needed was a fresh heavenly perspective. And so, you know, that's what the Lord had shown me, because it wasn't bringing life and it wasn't bringing righteousness as God desired, okay? It was actually allowing these circumstances a greater weight than God intervening in the affairs of mankind through prayer, through a laid-down life. So we got to remember that we need to be, and this is from James, James 1, verses 19 to 20, that we need to be, like, quick to listen, always listening, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, so that we can bring about the righteous life that God desires, not only in ourselves, but in others around us, okay? Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word that so deceives yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man. Now listen to this. It's like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. And this is why we're calling this broadcast. We begin it with a question. You know, in this particular episode of Faith Talk Live Prayer, are you a polished mirror? Okay? So, does anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, which is Jesus, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but actually doing what the Father says through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worth it, or his relationship with Jesus. They're not using this in context, in the same context as the religious spirit, which is what a lot of people coin or define as being legalistic. This is more or less what Apostle Paul pointing to, the relationship the personal relationship that a believer has with Jesus, to the presence of the Holy Spirit. So if anyone considers himself religious and does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world again. All right, this is a lady word. not weight of the glory, but a weighty word, a sobering word. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless, and he's a Father who comforts, is this, all right, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, in this suffering. To, you know, and it takes people that have to understand the nature of the widows and orphan suffering, so that we can be instruments of the Holy Ghost to move them from suffering, you know, a lesser glory, to a greater glory, the resurrection of Jesus, and move them through the vehicle of grace, okay? And a lot of times, grace is released from heaven through the vehicle of worship, and it's just so awesome. So awesome, it's so wonderful, it's so powerful, and it's so holy, because God is awesome. He's wonderful, he's powerful, and he's holy, making us awesome, wonderful, powerful, and holy warriors, warrior brides of him. Amen. So in their distress, to keep them oneself being polluted by the world. So at the same time that we do this, we have to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. And that is often hard to do if we don't have that focus. Okay, if you don't know what we were created for, we can really get caught up in argumentation and things like that. And I want to say, you know, God, there's a scripture in Romans 2 that defends us, warns us against that war in spirit that seems to stem from the flesh, okay? I felt so compelled before I go, you know, I give the scripture to my husband, he's going to read Romans 2, but I felt compelled to emphasize, you know, again, the ministry of suffering and how it relates to the resurrection, you know, the ministry, the true ministry of Jesus that goes on all the time, 24/7, in the hearts and minds of believers. And I had a dream the other night. It was a glorious dream, but it was really paradoxical and mean. And I was flying high in the spirit, you know, and I was literally flying through the sky. The spirit of the Lord, I was standing on the earth, and the spirit of the Lord lifted me up, and I was flying, I was soaring, and I thought, oh, wow, how can I go? You know, this is awesome. But it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit carrying me. And then, as soon as he lifted me up as high as, you know, he wanted me to go at that point, then all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord turned me upside down. And there was water underneath, you know, there was water. And it looked like, it wasn't like the light turquoise blue water. It was, you know, it's a little dark, and I was like, why am I going into this dark water? I mean, you lift me up, Lord, what's going on? You know, as I'm like, I don't want to go into the water. I said that in the dream. And as soon as I, was wanting to even continue on in that, the Lord closed my mouth. And I had to close my mouth, because I was going in the water. I didn't want to drown. You know, then I realized it was a dream, it was a vision, and I was going to be okay. So I'm like, if the Lord's behind us, I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to drown. I'm not going to. And this is the position we need to take when we're called out to ministry, you know, especially to a suffering humanity. We're not going to drown, the Lord is saying, and, you know, he's got your back. You know, his spirit is leading you. All right? So anyway, for such a time as this, okay? So I'm in the water now, and, you know, he brings me down to this underwater city, right? Underwater city in the glory. And then under the water, I began, it was okay. I was given permission by the Lord to pray. But I had to observe first before I prayed, okay? Well, I had to be slow to speak. I had to observe what was in front of me and what was happening around me. And I saw these people in the water, and the Lord said that these waters are called the waters of life, okay? They were destined for glory. They were just on their last stage of their suffering humanity. And they're walking to and fro, doing their everyday things. And these are the forgotten people. And they look like homeless people. They had messed up faces. Nothing was shining, you know, that resembled light or life in, from their faces. Very wretched people. You know, some were, you know, had teeth that were you know, rotten and different things like that. So that's where, that's the place where the Lord took me. And I felt so bad for these people. And the Lord said, these are the people that are forgotten by my people. These are the people that were once shining as vessels in glory, or, you know, as vessels of his power. And they lost hope. All right. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, what is their what is going on with them? What, and what, they have a different dumb spirit, and then, you know, they're operating in fear. So I began to, I'm like, oh, well, they must, I must have to pray, take authority. I asked the Lord, well, do you mind if I take authority over this? And she said, yes. And then the waters became warm, and there was more light. Okay, then I realized I wasn't in the waters anymore. I was in a city. I was in a city under the water, but the waters of life, you know, brought me to these people. And Jesus is the waters of life. So I began to tie in by it. I took authority over this deaf and dumb spirit, you know, so that these people can understand who they are and what they look like, you know. And because they forgot, after reading the word, they forgot who they were and what they look like. And the spirit of fear set in. So the Lord is saying that that's because of the deaf and dumb spirit. And right now I'm talking to a couple of people here. I can feel it. I can feel the anointing going out. And I just want to say to the folks that are listening, that, you know, this is, you know, the Lord doesn't want you to operate in there, in the spirit of fear, because it's going to bring a judgment where you're going to be tied and bound by that spirit, a deaf and dumb spirit, that the spirit of fear of living in these times will bring upon you. So, you know, because you're judging people, and Jeff's going to talk about that in a little bit of detail. We've got about 20 minutes left, but I just want to leave, you know, this part of the teaching, open to, first of all, to further ministering of the Holy Spirit on your behalf, but also to, I want to just take authority right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we tie and bind the spirit, the deaf and dumb spirit. We take authority over the power and over the afflictions of the deaf and dumb spirit that have come over your people, that have, you know, got caught up in judgmentalism, you know, favoritism, and all those things that are contrary to your, to the preaching of your word, to the doing of your word, and to helping out suffering humanity. We thank you, Jesus, for delivering and removing these things from them. In Jesus' name, we break that power to over their mind, heart, soul, spirit, will, and emotion. We also tie in bind to break the spirit of fear. That was the vehicle in which these two evil spirits have come upon them to deceive them. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, for a new mind and a new heart. We pray, Lord, for a renewal and a restoration of their lives. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. And some, one of the things that the Lord was dealing with when I saw, I had this dream, and I had this vision within a dream, came to me the following night, which was last night, and the Lord says, His Holy Spirit is being sent out to the people who have afflicted people in the area of sexual abuse, especially in the sexual abuse of children. And I was a victim, and it was so, you know, one time a while ago, as I was going through my healing, someone had been given a word from the Lord that the Lord is going to use me not only to minister to people who've been victimized, but those who perpetrate. And I sent shockwaves in my spirit. Like, I'm not even ready. You know, I wasn't even, even then I wasn't even ready to hear that word. But then the Lord stuck up on me like he usually does, and gave me a dream last night. And he brought me to this child who was a baby, probably right around the same age that I was first abused. And, you know, this adult appropriately, inappropriately started to show affection that should only be, you know, shown, you know, in a married state. And then all of a sudden this baby spoke up, you know, and this baby was like 6 months, spoke up and said, "Why are you hurting me?" And I really believe it was Jesus and that baby. "Why are you doing this? You're not supposed to do this. This is inappropriate behavior." And then that perpetrator had, and I was observing this all along, and that perpetrator had, he knew what he did wrong when he was doing it, but he couldn't, you know, he did not have self-control. And but he did have a conscience. It was not see it all the way, but it was. But what happened was amnesia had set in, all right, in the form of deaf and dumbness, like, you know. And then when he woke up and came to, he realized what he did, and shame came and tried to it came upon that person. But it was just a matter of time when this person would be found out. And he knew that his time was drawing near. So these people that are doing this kind of abuse, they know somewhere in their DNA, in their weakness of their spirit, in the weakness of their flesh, they know that they are doing wrong. But then the spirit of amnesia, you know, associated with depth and dumbness comes over them, you know, and gets them to a greater wretched state and things like that. And they, you know, punish themselves. You know, either they continue on in that same pattern and afflict a whole lot of other people, or they isolate themselves. So this is what that deaf and dumb spirit does, you know, and deceives people into isolation away from, you know, receiving prayer or, you know, getting help. And so, you know, this prayer goes out to them who have done the perpetration. And I just want to say, as somebody who is a survivor and who also is an overcomer through the blood of Jesus, I say, I forgive you. You know, I stand in the gap for your healing and your deliverance and your reconciliation and restoration. But you have to receive Jesus as the restorer of the breach. And I pray that for you, that you will have the courage to do this in Jesus' holy name. I'm going to give the mic to my husband, and he's going to read from God's righteous judgments. Because also, when we judge others like that, we can also put a judgment on our family line. So we really have to understand the position that we take as ambassadors of the good news of Jesus. So Jeff is going to read from Romans 2. Yeah, I think Romans 2 would actually be good, Jeff. And he will, just a good part, you know, beginning of Romans 2, and wherever the Lord will have you stop, all right, probably all the way up into 16, Romans 2, verses 1 through 16. Okay, here's Jeff.
Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you are without excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For by the standard by which you judge another, you condemn yourself. Since you, the judge, do the very same things. We know that the judgment of God on those who do such things is true. Do you suppose, then, you who judge those who engage in such things, and yet do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you hold his priceless kindness, forbearance, and patience in low esteem, unaware that the kindness of God would lead you to repentance? By your stubbornness and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself for the day of wrath in revelation of the just judgments of God, who will repay everyone according to his works. Eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality through perseverance in good works, but wrath and fury to those who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. Yes, affliction and distress will come upon every human being who does evil, Jew first and then the Greek, but there will be glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, Jew first, then the Greek. There is no partiality with God. Judgment by the interior law. All who sin outside the law will perish without reference to it, and all who sin under the law will be judged according with it. For it is not those who hear the law who are just in the sight of God, rather those who observe the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles do not have the law by nature, observe the prescriptions of the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the demands of the law are written in their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts also bear accuse or even defend them, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge people's hidden works through Jesus Christ.
So, Jeff, did you want to say anything in about, you know, less than a minute about the ramifications of what you have observed, what we talked about before?
Yes. In Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, this is what Jesus says about it. Now this is Jesus talking. Stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged, and the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the splinter from your eye, while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. And that's what Jesus gave us, and I think Paul was building on that in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit to build on that. And so we read it again, Romans 2, 1 to 16, in context with the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, 1 through verse 5. And here's Shirley.
Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using Jeff the way that you have with, you know, watering, you know, your beloved bride, the body of Christ, with the watering of the Word. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We have about 9 minutes left, and we're still in, you know, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians says a whole lot. I really encourage you on your time, you know, on your day of rest, on the Lord's day of rest for you, being Sunday today, May 2nd, to study in greater detail 2 Corinthians 1 and 2, 3, and 4, and 5. Yeah, and so we're nearing the end of this, but I just wanted to go to this last verse in 2 Corinthians. We weren't able to teach it all in one show, but we will visit it from time to time. You know, my husband just informed me that he needs to be at work. He was on vacation for 2 weeks, and we were able to get many things done that the Lord wanted us to get done, so that was awesome. And that includes getting to that conference under the green tree, which revolutionized our lives, actually. Yeah. So anyways, so when people feel tempted to give a defense of their ministry, like Paul did, I just wanted you to, like, meditate on 2 Corinthians and observe the way that Apostle Paul did it. And I think when you do it like that, then the love of God will come out more in your ministry, and you would not be you will be free of judgment, and you know, and the kingdom of God will come in a way that will bring much power and much glory, as the Lord restores all things unto Him through His people, the bride of Christ. All right, so Paul's defensive ministry, when he was ministering, so this keeps us in mind when he was ministering to the Corinthians. It says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid, when face to face with you, but bold went away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does, okay? There's many Christians that are waging war like the world does. And he reiterates Ephesians 6. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world, all right? On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds because the kingdom resides in us. We have that divine power. We need not fight for the kingdom on our own might. Since we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Again, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I will not. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person, he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. Okay? We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boast into the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits. By boasting of work done by others, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, all right, this is the hope of everyone called to ministry, which is every baptized believer. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will be greatly expanded. All right, so that's the hope of any healthy ministry, is that as faith continues to grow, that the area of fluid and activity would be greatly expanded, all right, beyond the borders of a particular person's ministry, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, because that's like reinventing the wheel. But let him who boasts in the Lord. Again, let him who boasts in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself or herself who is approved. And the Lord was dealing with us with the being overlooked in the last podcast, all right? So I suggest those to get a fresh appreciation of this next sentence here. Go back to the former broadcast and the one that talked about, being overlooked, and really listen to that, and then come back to that 2 Corinthians. You'd be surprised. It says, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends, okay? And I'm also going to put commands, that's my own opinion, but commends, all right? By his work in your life and how you are to use that for his glory to teach others, to actually help others walk through their sufferings, okay? So they can come into that resurrection promise, the resurrection glory through their restoration and transformation. Well, we have said a lot. It gave you a lot to chew on in this particular segment of Faith Talk by Prayer. Meaning, it's titled Are you a polished mirror? You know, God is continually polishing us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and He will continue to do that until the day that Christ Jesus returns, okay? Well, whether you are in this body or you're in your glorified body. So I think that is definitely something to look forward to. We have a glorious future, and I just want to say, keep your chin up, keep praying, keep hopeful, be encouraged, be an encourager. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from all.